Good morning. Our speaker today is Dr. Terrence Woodson. Dr. Terry Woodson has served as the senior pastor at Bethel Bible Fellowship for the last 7 years. And in addition to that role, he is known and loved on the campus of DTS as advisor to African American students, a position that he has held since 2005. Prior to these roles, Dr. Woodson pastored the growing Friendship Community Bible Church in Houston, Texas. And while there, also served on the faculty as academic dean and chairman of the board of the College of Biblical Studies. In addition, Dr. Woodson also helped initiate Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Dr. Woodson graduated with a BA from the King's College and a THM degree and Doctor of Ministry degree from Dallas Theological Seminary. He is married, and he and his wife have 4 sons, Terrence, Simeon, Timothy, and Titus. Would you please join me in welcoming today Dr. Terry Woodson?
Amen. You got the names right. Amen. I had some friends here from my Evangelical Covenant Church, and Brother Lena is up front here, and the rest of them here, Brother Garth, and they haven't made it yet. Anyway. Brother Leonid, good to have you here, my friend. Amen. He's a Russian church planner, and we're just glad to have you here today. Amen. BSF, where's my BSF buds? Y'all can do better than that, BSF. BSF, all right. Crystal, thank you so much for the ensemble today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask God to just bless our time and the word today, and to speak to our hearts and to our minds. Father, we love you today. Lord, it's just good for us to be in your house. It's good for us to be with other saints. Father God, speak to our hearts, Father, as you do so well. Make your word come alive. Make your word challenge us. Make your word spur us to live it, not just to hear it or to study it. Father, we love you today. In Christ's name, amen. You know, Timothy was being challenged by Paul to pastor this church in Ephesus, and in the first book of Timothy, he was challenged by Paul to be a good minister of the gospel. In spite of what's going on around him, in spite of the hardships, in spite of the amoral conditions, Paul was challenging Timothy to prepare his heart, prepare his life, to be a leader, to be a man of God in the midst of this challenging work that God had sent him to pastor this church. So turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. This passage here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul encourages us to be models and to be examples. In seminary, you're preparing yourself for just that task, to be that model and to be that example for God to use. And I know this is a tough time of the semester. This is your halfway point, and you have a lot of papers due, and midterms are coming up, and quizzes. You have all that good Greek nomenclature and declensions, and Luo is your best friend right about now, and it's easy, if you're not careful, that the most important part of your life is going to slip during this time, and that's your spiritual life, that's your walk with God. You can learn a lot, and we need to learn a lot, and you're here to learn a lot, but Paul encourages Timothy about that quiet part of his life that we must not let slip. And that's that spiritual part. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says in verse 7, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, for it is for this we labor and strive because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourselves an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. 12 commands, 12 imperatives that Paul gives throughout this passage of Scripture. Most of them are present active imperatives. Did my homework. Yeah. But it's interesting. I want us to look at three imperatives that Paul gives to the church. Paul gives to Timothy to encourage his life. Let's go into verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Set an example. Be a model. Let no one look down on you because of something you can't control. For Timothy, it was his youth. For someone else, it may be their sexuality, who they are. For another person, it may be their color. But don't let someone look down on you because of something you can't control. It's like the person who walks into the room. And you walk into that room, and everyone looks at you, and you know immediately as soon as you walk into that room, you're not liked. What do you do? What do you do? You know, if you're a female and you walk into a room and here you are representing the cause of Christ and you walk into the room and immediately you know that you are not accepted or you're not wanted there, what do you do? Say you're an old guy with gray hair and you walk into a room of young folks and you know they think you don't belong anymore. You're finished. You have nothing to say. What do you do? I remember as a child in fourth grade, my father sent me to school, and I was the only black student in that entire class. And I walked into that room, and I knew I wasn't wanted. I knew I didn't belong. And I came home distraught. And my father said, "Son, don't cry about it. Make them take it back. Make them take it back. Excel. Excel. Get some A's. Excel. Sit in the front of the class." You always want to sit in front of the class. Excel. I was taking a class last night, and guess where I sat in my class last night? Front row. Front row. Why? It's in there. You know? It's in there. It's in there that if you want to excel, you should sit in the front. That's why all the seats are vacant. You know? But that was his advice to me. Make him take it back. And that's Paul's advice to Timothy. Excel, Timothy. Look what he says in verse 12. Set an example. Be a model for the believers in speech. Be a model for the believers in life. Be a model for the believers in love. Be a model for the believers in faith. Be a model for the believers in purity. Excel in the ministry where God is going to call you. Excel in the ministry where God is going to send you. Excel. And make them take it back with your excellence that God has called you to do. Ladies, I want to encourage you. You're going to engage yourself in some ministry, and you may not be appreciated or accepted. Make them take it back. Make them take it back with your excellence, with your love, with your patience, with your faithfulness. Learn the Word of God. Do what God has called you to do, and do it with an attitude of excellence. If you're young and you're in a church with a lot of old folks and they don't appreciate you, make them take it back. Excel with love, patience, doing the work that God has called you to do. Be a model. Be a pattern. And that starts right here and right now. That's the first imperative. Let's find another one. Going down to verse 16. It says in verse 16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Watch your life. Watch your doctrine. I'm not worried about you watching your doctrine. You're here at Dallas Seminary getting the best training there is to get. You're going to learn the Word of God. You're going to learn some good theology. That's going to be clear in your mind. I'm more concerned about the first one. If Paul told Timothy, Timothy, watch your life. Watch your life. You know, Timothy, pay attention to your life. Pay attention to what you do. Pay attention to where you go. Pay attention to the things you love. Timothy, pay attention to your life. Watch your life. You know, weekends at Dallas Theological Seminary are probably interesting places. Friday night and Saturday night are probably interesting places. And, you know, what you do on the weekends is your own time. No one is with you. You're out there doing your own thing. My encouragement to you is watch your life. Watch where you go. Watch what you do. Watch what you drink and don't drink. I'll leave that alone. Watch your life. Watch who you associate with. Watch your life. No one's watching but you and God. And it's up to you to look after your life. No one's going to take care of you but yourself. Watch your life. And one last imperative. There's 12. I only chose 3. I guess I could have chosen 6. Let's go back to verse 7. The end of verse 7, he says, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Train yourselves to be godly. That word train there has the word of gym, of to work out, of to gymnatize yourself, to work yourself out. The whole idea there is of a physical workout, that you need to physically work out your body. And the same way you work out your body physically is the same way you need to spiritually work out yourself with God. You need to work this thing out with God. You need to say yes to certain things and no to certain others. You need to have discipline in your spiritual walk. There's some things you should do, and there's some things you should not do. It's discipline discipline. It's not exciting. The bells and whistles don't go off. It's a lonely experience. But God has called us to be men and women who are disciplined. Like the athlete. I used to run track when I was in high school and college. I had a 28 waist. It's about that big. Now my waist is a little bit bigger than that. And how big is it? It's really none of your business how big my waist is now. But it was 28. I had a pair of old gym trunks, and I was cleaning out, and I pulled them up, and I said, I wore that? I could probably get that on one leg right now, you know, 28 waist. And I remember my favorite race was the 220. The 220 on the curve. The 220 on the curve with the cinder track. Oh, that was the race. Now they have the 200 straight. But the race back then, 19, was the 220 on the curve. Beautiful race. You know, you would stagger to start. And the goal was to catch the guy in front of you before you hit the curve. And then you would lean into the curve, give it all you had in the curve, and then you would slide out of the curve for that last straightaway. About 75 yards down, you would give it all you have, focus your eyes on the goal, and just give it all you have. You have to do it on a cinder track with the cleats in your track shoes. I remember one race. I prepared for this race, and I was kind of cocky, and, you know, I thought I was just the cat's meow, thought I had it all together. I had the school record in the 220, so I knew I was bad, you know. Got down the blocks, gun went up, bam. My first goal was to catch the man in front of me. Before the curve, I caught him. Lean into the curve. Now, as you lean into the curve, you have to stay in your lane. That's the rule. You have to stay in your lane. You're sliding as you're going through the curve, but you have to control yourself as you go through the curve and stay in the line. Lean into the curve. Slid out the curve, and I was coming down the runway. I leaned just a little bit too far, and I stepped on a line, and my cleat hit the heel of a man next to me, and I fell. And there's nothing worse than falling on a cinder track. You're sitting there, in the middle of your lane, legs, arms, you know, and the pain of those cinders on your knees and your arms and your hands, oh, it's just excruciating. And then the crowd is just saying, excruciating. But the worst part was, what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training." That's us right here now at Dallas Seminary. You are in strict training. Working hard, studying hard. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I remember that judge walked over to me that day and he said, "You are disqualified, DQ'd." The word disqualified there means worthless, to be counted worthless. And I sat on the sidelines dejected. Because I trained, I wanted that race. I wanted to win that race. I wanted to be number one. I wanted to win. And here I am, disqualified. I would hate for you or me to stand before the Almighty God and have God say, "You are disqualified. You chose to step out of bounds. You did not run in your lane, but you chose to step out of bounds. And now I view you through eyes of being disqualified." After all this wonderful work and study and luo, to stand before the Almighty God and have him say, "You are disqualified." You know, I'm excited that I want to stand before the Almighty God and have God say, "Well done. Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Come on in. Come on in." That's my desire. You know, and sometimes that means saying yes to certain things and no to some other things so that we can stand before God approved. Workmen who need not be ashamed, who can rightly divide the word of truth. I buffet my body, I make it my slave, so that I can run my race before the Almighty God, before the church, before the people that I'm around, and God is going to be honored and glorified by my life. Well, folks at DTS, you're in the second half of your semester. You're approaching the second half of your semester. Midterms are coming up, and you're going to have some finals coming up, and you have those papers to write, and all those good exegetical papers you love to write, and you're excited about writing those exegetical papers, doing those word studies, and all that wonderful stuff is coming your way. Find some time to make sure that your spiritual life is on target with God. Find some time. It may be in the morning. It may be in the afternoon or late at night, but make sure you find some time to make sure your spiritual heart is right with God. Sin always has a way of creeping in. Clean that out and be a vessel that God can use for his honor and for his glory. Guard your heart. Watch your life. Watch your doctrine, but I want you to watch your life. Be an example to those who God's going to use you to minister to. They may not like you, but make them love you and respect you because of your love and your walk with God. Guard your life. Let's pray. Father God, we're grateful, Lord, today to be men and women who you are preparing for your service. It's an awesome responsibility that you have entrusted to us, Father, to rightly handle the word of truth. But Father God, we have a responsibility as men and women to live a life that's consistent with the truth that we are rightly handling. We want to be men and women who run in our lanes, who make good decisions, who say no to the things that's improper for us, and who say yes to doing those things that bring you honor and glory. Father, encourage us during those rough days. Encourage us during those times when we are lacking. It may be financial lack. It may be loneliness. Father, you know the need. In those quiet moments of pain, encourage our hearts so we can emerge as men and women who you can use for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we love you. In Christ's name, amen.